Welcome to the West Point Church Podcast. Here you can find past and future messages. Be sure to subscribe so you get updates as soon as those sermons are posted. I hope you guys enjoy it. Have a good week.
Well, hey, I want to welcome West Point Church. My name is Pastor Jake. I normally hang out with the kids when we do have service, but today I get to bring the message. I'm pretty excited about today's message. Today we're going to continue our message series in Luke 24. So if you want to get your Bibles ready, you can start turning there. But last week's message was about the resurrection of Jesus in the book of Luke. And I'm one of the believers in, or believe in the idea that without the resurrection, we don't have the power that we have as being a Christian. You know, there's two things that really matter to me when I think about being a Christian and my walk with Christ is his birth. Kind of a big deal, right? The birth of Jesus is a big deal, but also the death and resurrection. And so I enjoy Easter, and Easter this year kind of snuck up on me. I don't know if it snuck up on you guys, mainly because of where I was for the last month. But so go ahead and start opening your Bibles to Luke 24. We're going to look at a couple of verses. But my question to you is, have you ever had something right in front of you and you not see it? Maybe you're looking for something that you lost. Maybe it was a set of car keys, your phone. I mean, we're so attached to our phones, but sometimes we just don't know where we put it. Maybe you were searching for Where's Waldo, and that kind of dated myself, or for some of you know what I'm talking about, but you were searching for Where's Waldo, and he was right in the middle of the page, and yet you still could not see him. Or when you're driving down the interstate, you missed your turn. You knew exactly where you're going to go. You drove the same place every day, same road every day, and yet you still missed your turn. Well, in the account today that we're going to look at, there are two people who missed something that was right in front of their face. Kind of a big deal, what they missed. So chapter 24, we're introduced to these two individuals. They appear to be part of the ones that were sent out. In fact, if you just read the first part, I'm just going to jump into it, but come right back. It says, that very day, two of them. And so in chapter 24, verse 13, it says, that very day, two of them. Now, there's some talk on who these two could be, and only one is named later on. We don't know a lot about them, but there was two of them sent out. And so if you go back to Luke 10, we look at the idea that there was the 72 sent out to each city. Now, it doesn't connect these two, but it continues in Luke. It continues the story of the accounts of these people sent out. And so I make the connection, and you can make connection whatever you want to make, that these two were important to Jesus, or important to the circle of Jesus, the people that were sent out by Jesus. Now, were they part of the 11? No. You look later on in the verses, they weren't part of the 11. But yet they were still people, both of these were people who have walked with Jesus, saw Jesus' ministry, and were at the death of Jesus. What an interesting place to be in time to be at the death of our Savior, to be at Calvary. But nonetheless, these two people were sent out by Jesus. These two experienced the ministry and the death of Jesus, and they're walking back to their home in Emmaus. Now, they met a man on the road, and so read 24:13-17 with me. It says, that very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all the things that they had happened. Now, a lot has happened, right? We had the death and the death of Jesus, kind of a big deal when it comes to the idea of our Savior, and they believed that he was the Lord. And so they're talking about that. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, and Jesus said to them, what is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk? And they stood still, looking sad. Now, Jesus walks right up to these two. Kind of remembering the idea that, have you ever had something right in front of your face and not see it? Jesus walks right up to these two and starts talking with them. They have no idea who this guy is. And yet, their face is still sad. And he tells them about what is happening. So when the person inquires about the two that they are talking about, when Jesus walks up and asks them, what are you talking about? Their response is kind of interesting. They respond with a face, and I just would like to have been there, with this face that says, how do you not know what just happened? Were you not just in Jerusalem? In fact, that's exactly what the response was. Well, Jesus displays grace in his response, as we see. Jesus is pushing for that relationship with these two more than he's in pushing to be right. After hearing what they have to say, what the two have to say to Jesus, Jesus asks them a simple question, and we're gonna look at it. But he asks the simple question is, was it not necessary? And so let's read 24:18 through 27 with us together. Let's read it together. It says, then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there these days? And he said to them, Jesus said to them, what things? Jesus is kind of playing with them, kind of asking them to divulge more, even though Jesus, well, I would make the connection. He knows exactly what happened since he was the center of what had just happened. And so Jesus says, what things? And they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things have happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. So they told the story back to Jesus, what just happened. You know, we even read it last week about how Mary and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, all went to the tomb and they'd seen the angel. And so we heard all this stuff. And so these two are saying it back to Jesus, that story, the account of what had happened to the life of Jesus. And yet, Jesus said to them, verse 25, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all the prophets had spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things that concerning himself. And so he comes back and he teaches them about the prophecy and what had happened. Yet, these two still had no idea who this man was. You know, Jesus was sitting there talking with him, trying to check their spiritual awareness, trying to see if they were really aware of what was around them. They still, in the 7-mile journey, had no idea who this man was. You know, after finishing the journey, it was time for dinner. Now, I don't know about you, but if I were to walk 7 miles, I'd get pretty hungry. Well, these men, or these two individuals, had decided to eat dinner, right? It was dinner time. And as they were leaving, or as they were about to part ways, Jesus was acting like he was going to continue to move on. And these two had just spent 7 miles with this person who imparted some wisdom onto them. And so they had said, hey, wait, why don't you come in and eat dinner with us? They really pushed for him to come and have dinner with them. You know, Jesus didn't want to push into their lives. He wanted to be invited in. If you read on to, you know, I read about this passage in William Barclay's, what you'd call like a, not a devotional, but just kind of an unpacking of the scriptures. He says in his commentary that, you know, Jesus' goal was not to, it was to give us the free will to allow us into, or ask Jesus into our lives. And so he was not going to push his way into these two's lives. He wanted to be asked in. And so they did. They, without the push of Jesus. They had asked Jesus to join them at the supper table. Another thing that Charles Barkley had mentioned was that we can have communion with Jesus in two places, not just in the communion table around, and some of us, you know, I miss having communion with you in a church setting, but we can also have communion with Jesus at our dinner table. You know, being spiritually aware, to have Jesus enter the room and have him at your dinner table, invite him in to break bread with you. And so that's exactly what the account says that these two did. They invited Jesus in, not knowing that it was Jesus yet. And so Jesus sits at the table and he does the thing that he is known to do. He did it at his Last Supper, but he's known to do this. He did it. And when he fed the 5,000, he is known to do this action. And no doubt that these two have seen it before. See, Jesus, it says in verse 30, says, when he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. See, Jesus took this bread. He asked for the blessing from his Father, and then he broke it and shared it. In essence, he took communion with these two. And verse 31 says this, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. At that moment, these two became spiritually aware of what was happening around them. Oh, what a moment that would have been to be there, to be sitting with Jesus, him breaking bread, and go, oh my goodness, this person that we just spent the last 7 miles with is our Lord. Now, I'm sure they felt kind of foolish, felt kind of off, that they didn't see it before. But it wasn't too late. They got to become spiritually aware. See, from this passage for me, I know that Jesus does not want to push himself into my life. But he also wants me and you to be spiritually aware of what's going on around us. And wants us to be spiritually aware of what he wants to do through us. These two were used by him previously. And I truly believe that because it says in the beginning of that very day, two of them were going from the village. Going back to that village. And so two of them were going. So it meant that they were part of this group to me. And so Jesus, he's calling those that are part of that group, us, to be spiritually aware of what's around us. So in the account of Jesus, we caught a glimpse of these two who experienced the ministry of Jesus, witnessed the death of their Lord, and felt disheartened by the death and waiting on the resurrection. That they, as they were walking away, they couldn't even be spiritually aware of their Savior walking with them. See, this account of these two brings the idea that spiritual awareness to the front of my mind, that we need to be spiritually aware. In fact, I love this line from this song, and maybe you've heard of it. It's called The Waymaker. Even when I don't see it, you are working. See, these two had no idea that Jesus, I mean, they had an idea, but they couldn't see it with their physical eyes, so they kind of blocked it from their spiritual eyes, that even when I don't see it, you're working. And Jesus was working. He was working at the garden when he rolled the tomb away, and when he rolled the stone away. He was working when he met with those that had come to the tomb. He was working now, even so, when he showed himself to these two. You know, as we look at the situations around our lives, especially in this time, in this season where we're staying at home and dare I say, the COVID-19, you know, just totally a different season, that we need to sit and pray for two things. Lord, give me your eyes to see and your ears to hear what you're doing. See, Lord, I pray during this season that he can grow our spiritual awareness. And so for your response today. It's something, you know, kind of interesting, because we don't get a response in a normal room. We don't get to come up to the altar in a physical sense, but you do get to spend some time right after this message with Pastor Paul in the comment section, and talking about the sermon and this message and what it means to you. And he'll set you up, he'll guide you through it, but my intention is that you'll continue, that you'll stay just maybe for 5 minutes and talk about what this message is doing through you. And as Pastor Paul guides that, I pray that you engage with him. You know, I'm going to go ahead and close in prayer, but again, my intention for you is that to grow in spiritual awareness, just like these two did. Now, it took Jesus to do something that he is known to do, blessing and breaking the bread, for them to see it. But my question to you is, what is it that Jesus needs to do for you to continue to grow in your spiritual awareness of what he's doing around you? So I just ask, let's pray together, and then go ahead and be engaged in the comments below on what Pastor Paul is going to do. And so let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for this time. I thank you for this message. I thank you for the opportunity to dive into your word and to just, Lord, I thank you that we get to be spiritually aware. Lord, that even in this season, you're doing something. Even when we don't see it, you're working. Even when we don't see it, you're moving. And so, Lord, I pray that over my own life right now, over my family's lives and those watching, and the families that are watching, the individuals that are watching, Lord, I pray that we become more spiritually aware today and this week. Lord, give us ears to hear and eyes to see what you're doing. Lord, we thank you for this this message. We thank you for this day. And we thank you for the opportunity to serve and worship together, even in this season. We give you glory in your holy name. Amen. Amen. Well, I look forward to seeing you soon. God bless.